you know, it's so easy when you get a sponsor for the show and you use their services. And I do. It's Karen Locker's Solutions for E-commerce. Solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum will get you 10% off right now. I've been using her for, I guess it's been a year and change since I first interviewed her. Hired her pretty much right after the show because I'm like, I need everything you're talking about. I've got problems with stranded inventory. And guess what? I had lots of problems with stranded inventory last year as the restrictions were coming through. Boom, she'd fix it. If there's an issue with the photo, fixed. All that kind of stuff. I get refunds now. They just show up. Hey, you know, we're replying to your cases. Here's your refund. My feedback. I don't have to fix my own feedback anymore. It's automatically done. And I see the notes coming through. I still once in a while get an email from Amazon saying, hey, you have some stranded inventory. I send it to her. And most of the time, it's already been dealt with and fixed. But let me tell you, being a single operator, my wife and I, this just takes so much off our plates. I can't say enough about it. It's Solutions for E-commerce, the number four, solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum to get 10% off her services. Be sure you tell her I sent you. Solutionsforecommerce.com.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 180, yeah, that's 180, Dave Matthews. Dave Matthews, not the singer, but he is a rock star in my mind. Great seller, mega seller. Was episode number 61 for us way back in January of 2016. So you really want to listen to that to get his background information. It'll give you some great perspective. But I love his business model and I love his attitude on life. He is a devoted husband and a great business partner because he has respect and trust and love for his partners. Those are all the pieces to the formula. That's really it. You know, you got to have brains, you got to have some specialization, and he talks about that. But it's really important, and I just think he does it better than anyone else I've seen. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-commerce Momentum Podcast, and I am beyond excited because I love this guy. I love every time I get a chance to talk with him, and I did just get to see him recently, which I was very fortunate. David Matthews, welcome back, David.
Hey, thanks for having me, Stephen.
You know, we were chatting in the pre-interview. It was January of 2016, episode 61 was the last time that we talked. It's incredible to me.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Isn't time flying?
It has been. Yep.
That's right. Time just flies. And in this world, I mean, just think about it. You know, it's already March. You know, Q4's over, and we're all starting to think about Q4 already. Isn't that crazy?
Yep. Yeah.
So let's talk about what's going on in David's life. So David, in episode 61, it's a great backstory. It's probably one of my favorite backstories. And I quote quite often because you talked about your partnership. You're a partner with two other guys. And what you talked about were two things. There was the respect issue and trust, but you also mentioned love. And I quote that all the time. Not, you know, manly. I mean, just a, you know, best friends kind of love. And that value in that formula of partnerships is so powerful. And I just love it. So it's episode 61 to get the backstory. But let's do a quick outline of your business. So last we talked, your business model was you were buying huge tractor trailer loads from Amazon. Mm-hmm. Bringing them in, sorting them down, sending some stuff back to Amazon, stuff to eBay, and then bringing it into your retail store, and then liquidating down from there in banana boxes all the way out the door till everything's gone.
Yes.
Is that still your business, your main business model?
Yes, that is still our main business model. So yeah, we view it as a funnel. You know, our first funnel that we want to send stuff through is, can we sell it on Amazon? Can we get it? Is it within date? Is it able to be resold on Amazon? And if it doesn't make it through that filter, it then goes to our retail store. Or that's where it has now gone. I guess before it was maybe we would consider eBay, but we've just found tremendous success in the last year and a half with funneling a lot of our product to our actual retail store.
Even stuff that you would have sent to eBay, now you're just moving to retail. Are you recognizing roughly the same net profit on them?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I think, if you have high-end electronics or, and we don't get too many of those, but every once in a while, you know, you're getting palleted goods, you'll come across some random stuff. So electronics or anything that has maybe a $50 value or higher, we'll definitely send it to eBay, yeah.
Wait, so you're not shipping the volume that you were shipping to, so you're saving labor costs there.
Yes.
And yep. The grief that goes along with it, right? Because there is grief. You got to take pictures. You got to create a listing. There are hassles, right?
Absolutely. And it's just so much easier to put it on a shelf and to assign a value to it. And then, hope that a week, 2 weeks, it's sold within our retail store. And our turnover of product is pretty high because we built quite a quite a good customer base for our retail store.
And how long has your retail store been open, David?
We've gotten really serious about it in the last probably year,
okay,
year and a half. It's been around 2.5-3 years, but it was just kind of, you know, we had it there because we could, and made sense to just set stuff out and compared to sending stuff to an auction house and, you know, just getting pennies for the dollar on stuff. So, we started getting serious about it about a year ago, started getting involved in different groups and making it known that we existed.
Hmm. Now, how do you set your retail prices for the shelves? I mean, do you say, hey, if the full retail value is $100, we price it at 50% of that, or are you looking for some, I mean, or does it depend?
Yeah, we'll first go to Amazon's price and we'll mark it about 50% off of what Amazon would charge for it. And then if we can't find it on Amazon, obviously we'll go to Walmart also. And we kind of use those two platforms to determine our pricing. But again, we're getting stuff so cheap by the pallet that, you know, if it's a short dated grocery item, we have the flexibility to be able to assign a cost that just gets it out the door.
I love it. I just think it's so clean and so easy.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I'm sure is, you know, a lot of hard work. I mean, an incredible
right.
amount of hard work. But it's just so clean and easy the way you just bring it in. The employees look it up. But I imagine, too, is that you get a lot of the same merchandise.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. And primarily the stuff that we're getting is health and beauty related or grocery. So it's stuff that people are repeatedly going to be coming back in our store and getting. And at that, the stuff that we find that sells really well is usually the organic stuff or what have you. So you get a lot of people coming in, you know, even multiple times a week just to hunt, you know, just to look for stuff and to see what new inventory has been put out on the floor and what they can get their hands on.
How do you market to these people? I mean, is there, because it's a different world today than what it was. You're not a grocery store producing a grocery flyer weeks in advance, right? And then having it printed, right? So how do you communicate with people?
Yeah, Facebook is a big one. Going to our Facebook page, we're always putting up posts, you know, on what's in the store, what's available, what you can come in and get, our specials for the week. You know, whenever we do a banana box sale, which is once a month, you know, a lot of those are spread by the Facebook group, but also by word of mouth, because it really is a good deal and people really like it.
That's awesome. I love your business. I couldn't do it, but I love your business model. No, it's just because it's so well thought out. I mean, you've taken, and I remember when it was in grad school and they talked about obsolescence. And when this is a true story, they gave an example when the chocolate bar people, they used to take the extra chocolate bars that broke and they gave them to the farmers to feed the pigs, right? That was what they did, or feed animals. And then some genius somewhere has decided, wait a second, we can put that stuff with ice cream. And then they realize that they can actually get a better price sometimes by breaking the bars intentionally and putting it in ice cream. And it was like, ah. So it completely took away what they were paying to get rid of or inconvenience. Now it's a profit center for them. And you guys have really figured that out. And I think it's so smart. I love your business model. I really do.
Well, and you're right. I mean, what I think we've learned is crazy is just, you know, you get all this product in by the truckload. And the crazy thing to do is to send it to an auction house where, you know, the stuff that you have to recycle or just get rid of, you know, sending it off to an auction house and then they just lump everything into some boxes and sell it for pennies when we could actually piece it out and put it in our retail space and make more than pennies on the dollar.
Do you track truckloads to see how profitable they are?
Yes, we do that. Okay. Primarily, yeah. Yeah, so again, I mean, our first choice is to be able to sell the stuff back on Amazon. That's, I mean, that's where we do the majority of our business. But, you know, it's when you're dealing with liquidation stuff, it's never a perfect case scenario. It never is. You know, you don't know what you're getting. It's a gamble every time you buy a truck. That's probably the biggest downside to liquidation, honestly. But you get some good ones and you get some bad, and you kind of have to look at it like that.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about changes in your business, and sure. I want to talk about partnerships, because you're one of the real successful partnerships, and I just can't imagine it's always perfect, and how do you deal with that? I just think that would be helpful for people. All right, we'll be right back.
Great.
Are you looking for inventory this time of year?
I have just the answer. It's called The List. Yep, that's it, The List. It's a premium sourcing service brought to you by Andy Slammons, where you get quality, actionable inventory from real sellers. These are million-dollar-plus sellers who bring you the finds in real time. Oh, and by the way, they're buying them themselves. Bring your business to the next level with The List. There are a few openings, but it's capped at 100, and they're so close, but you still can get in if you sign up now at thelistishere.com, thelistishere.com. Oh, and make sure you tell Andy I sent you.
Man, I'd love talking to this guy. He's so smart and so humble. But I just think there's so much there. There's so much opportunity when you listen to what he's done. The processes, the way they break down their processes. And that's the beauty of having three of them. One's a finance guy, one's an operations guy, and the other is the big thinker, kind of, you know, really making sure that they're thinking things through and going out and trying other new things. And I just think that that's what makes a great partnership. In this segment, we're going to talk about private label and changes that they've made in their business, adding in other things and trying other things. And I think there's some great lessons there because they built up this infrastructure. If they could fill the capacity of the infrastructure with their business, and he talks about that. And he also talks about using Tactical Arbitrage, which is an amazing product from Alex Moss, where he can bring in online arbitrage into an existing workforce and fill in their time. And he's just able to process it right through. It's a great story. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with David Matthews. And Dave is a mega seller, big mega seller. He's got a partnership with two other fellows. And they've been in business for quite a while. And his business has been growing. You've been growing every year. Is that fair to say?
Yes, yes. We've been growing every year. Although I would come back on that a bit. I think we're growing every year and we see these sales numbers increasing. But I think one driving point that especially we're focusing on this year is focusing more on profit than having these really impressive.
Love it.
Having these really impressive numbers, because it almost, you know, within these Facebook groups and everything, everybody wants to, especially this past year, you know, throw up numbers and do all this. And, you know, but if you're not making any money, then what's the point of it? You know,
So
our focus, I think, is shift. We need to be profitable and we need to see profits and focus on that and not care about all the glamour of the sales numbers, I guess.
Well, doing the volume of products that you do, because you're doing thousands of products every week. How do you focus on profit? I mean, you said that you're trying to track by the truckload, but how do you focus on profit?
It could be as easy as, you know, you have a grocery item that, and you know this, you know, that we could sell for $8.99 as a one unit. And, you know, simply if we just convert it to a three unit, or if we have a whole slew of that product. So we're just, our people, we want our people to be better at noticing that stuff and to, you know, sell a single unit and to also know, you know, hey, we can sell this as a two pack, we can sell this as a three pack. And so over the quantity of 500 of that item, you know, we're just being smarter with how we go about shipping the product back into Amazon.
Oh, and that's a good point. So let's use that example. So in a 500 item, in the past you might have looked and saw that, it's not profitable, single unit. It's just not worth us sending in, right? By the time the fees are done, and then they're higher fees, right? It's just not worth it. But wait, a two-pack, now all of a sudden it is, or a three-pack. Do you also then decide what percentage you're going to throw into the store of that 500 and look at multiple ways to make money?
Right. Yes. Yes, we would do that. Although a lot of times with the store, we have so many products at the store and we have a limited space for it.
Okay.
It usually is the short, the short dated stuff that goes there first. Okay. But that goes hand in hand with, you know, one thing we're trying to do right now, or we're putting focus towards, is franchising our store out here in Indianapolis and try to get more storefronts established in the Indy area so that we can do more creative things like you're saying.
Hey, have you ever pulled inventory back off the shelves and say, whoa, you know, we sold everything, we didn't realize it was going to go that fast, let's get that off the shelves and get it back into Amazon?
No, not really. A lot of the stuff is strategically put there for a reason. Okay. And a lot of times that reason is it can't go to Amazon simply because it has some sort of defect, or defect as in, you know, the box might have a little tear in it or something like that, or is short dated.
Yeah, the date is be that one. Okay. All yeah. right. It makes sense. Okay. So let's talk about changes to your business, because you guys have started looking at some other angles to your business, namely private label. Mm-hmm. And you've had some success with that. Talk about that.
Yeah. So we have one actual line of product that does really good for us. I guess probably after I spoke with you or was on the podcast, you know, about a year ago, a little over a year, we started investigating private label. You know, I was following Andy Slammons and joined one of his groups and got interested in it. And that's, so we took the plunge into it. We realized, hey, we have this massive workforce, and we could build a product that would be very difficult for other sellers to replicate. And so we put that product into motion, and yeah, it does very well for us. And there's not a whole lot of competition in it, simply because you would have to have quite the workforce to get it put together.
So you took an existing cost structure that you already incurred and you already had in place, took knowledge that you had, and you were able to just fill in the gaps, right? While these people were standing around, now you have them doing something a little more, you know, keeping them busier, right? And so yes. Your cost on that is, you know, I mean, you've really spread it across multiple, you know, products in that. Do you think there's a chance you can add another one?
I'm sure we could. I think right now we have a couple others that we've added on, but as far as like building a brand actually around a product, we only have like what I would consider one like really solid private label brand going, where we can actually add on to the brand. I think private label it's been good and it's really moved us forward, but it's not easy. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And I think that's our limiting factor, is just finding the time to be able to really invest into it. So it's an area of focus that we want to have, but maybe not our primarily focused area.
That's a great segue. Now, because you have two other partners, right? So this mm-hmm. isn't a Dave decision. This is a group decision, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about what it group dynamics. I'm sure there are challenging times to that, right? It's not always rainbows and unicorns, right? I'm sure.
No, not at all. No, I mean, yeah, we have hard discussions all the time, and you know, we disagree on points, and it's not always, you know, it's like another marriage. So, but I think it is good. I think we've learned over the last several years, you know, where our skills lie, and I think that's been good. Where we don't really interfere with each other's areas
or
too
second
often.
Guess. I mean, you're not second guessing each other, right?
No, I don't think so. I think we make a decision, and we do talk about the decision that we're making. And then, you know, if two out of the three of us feel like we should move forward, we'll move forward. Or sometimes it's one out of the three and we'll move forward. And, you know, that's okay. But we believe in what we're doing, and we believe in each other. And we know at the end of the day, it's business. But it's business, and the friendship is still going to last even after.
You know, it's interesting you say it that way, because it's at the end of the day, you know, you've got to be able to still be friends, right? And so you do have to be respectful and that kind of thing. You know, I love the idea that you almost like give each other enough rope, not to mm-hmm. hang each other, but just to go, right? To give a chance, right? You're not bound by this rigid set of rules, right? That's important, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And especially, you know, that's what I would I feel very empowered in that area specifically. That's kind of, I feel like that's more my strength set, is more like the innovation and putting ideas out in front of everyone and kind of sharing those ideas and then, you know, hoping that people get behind it and then we can move forward with different things. I kind of feel like that's what I bring to the business a lot of times. And yeah, I've always felt very empowered by my other two partners because they really do support me in that.
Who's the process person in your business?
Yeah, the process person, that would be our operations manager. His name's Zach. And yeah, he's awesome. So he's there on the day-to-day and he's actually managing the place, you know. So where Chris, Tyler, and myself, we aren't there every day. We're there some, but not on a day-to-day basis. Zach oversees the operation and he's our operations manager at UTS.
How do you communicate with him to make sure that he's following the wishes, or does he get confused with the three of you? Like, who do I answer to today? Who do I answer? How do you handle that?
Yeah, I think he does have like a point of contact. I think on the financials, you know, Tyler is our financial guy, so Tyler is leading the way on anything financially that goes into that realm. You know, with the truck purchasing and different things like that. That's Tyler's area, so he goes through him on that. If we have a strategic move that we're making in the storefront or we're wanting to do something there, like Chris or I may jump in on that. If we're doing something private label, you know, I might funnel my energy more towards to him on the private label stuff.
Hmm. You know, I was sitting here thinking about, because I remember you were working from home most of the time, right? Is that still the case?
Yeah, a lot of the case, yes.
So can you walk me through a typical day and then maybe just a quick summary of a week for you? What's normal for you?
Yeah. One part of our business that we've really developed, I guess, in the last 6 months is using tactical arbitrage. Mm. So an area where I've been focusing a lot lately is getting a team at UTS that is just consistently using tactical arbitrage to just churn out leads and then to make decisions on what we need to purchase. So yeah, I'd say about the last 6 months I've been really focused on helping that team get up to speed with tactical arbitrage. So that's been my focus for this season.
And using it for the online purchases or
yes,
in store?
Okay. only online. Yep. Okay. We did some RA around quarter four, but we did majority OA.
Okay, and so now you, because you built this structure in this facility, you can just funnel in another a level of goods, and then it just goes right through your process, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Have you thought about any of the other liquidation companies? Because I see a lot of them. I guess I'm in a bunch of those groups, and there's wholesale and all these other guys. And I see it all the time, you know, shelf pulls and stuff. Have you ever looked at any of that? And if so, has that added more value to you? Or in the end, is it not the same quality?
You know, we just haven't really looked at it.
Okay.
I think I am part of some of those groups, but we've never really jumped in there and made any purchases from any of them. I think it's just we're at peak with what we're currently doing, so we don't really have the time or the energy to maybe funnel into some of those other areas.
Yeah, and that would be chance and risk, where the tactical arbitrage is giving you consistent, you know what you're getting, and you know, again, you have that process, so you're bringing in products,
right?
You know what will sell, and you can just process it through. Love it. So what's next? What do you think the next year, you know, what are you seeing for 2017 into 2018 for you guys?
Yeah, I think a lot of our focus is going in the direction of more storefronts and really just getting behind that. I think we've all like really developed a liking to the storefront model. But you get around people, you know, you have people coming in, you're getting to interact. I think it has some vision for us also. We're in the inner city. We got approved with EBT or food stamps. So now there's this impact that we can have, you know, on the community in the inner city. So, yeah, I think that's a lot of our conversations are really like centered around the storefront and continuing the success of that. And it's exciting to me because, you know, seeing some of these changes with Amazon, it's nice to have some other things in our back pocket.
It really is. And let's be honest, you're helping people because they're getting access to lower priced, expensive stuff. right? I mean, let's face it. I mean, you're basing it, you know, 50% off of what the buy box is or on Walmart or whatever. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, when they can buy quality at that price and it's not expired stuff. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're seeing a lot of, we just see people really excited about it. And whenever we run the banana box specials, it's really cool just to see all the people coming out to, you know, get their banana box and to have these long lines, you know, people waiting to get in there and to be the first ones in to get products. I don't know. It's an empowering thing for sure.
Are you seeing a lot of competition in your market? I do notice a lot of liquidation, not Amazon liquidation, but these other companies. I notice almost every community has one of those places where the boxes are kind of torn and that kind of thing. Are you seeing a lot of them in your market pop up?
Like with liquidation goods, like torn boxes and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure, we see our fair share of that stuff. Whenever something's stacked in a pallet, you know, obviously the stuff on the bottom, in the bottom of a pallet is probably going to get smushed. So yeah, I mean, we have our issues with that. Luckily, we feel like our avenues and where we're funneling our products, you know, it's doing well for us. So does it cut in? Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Okay.
But having the storefront, having Amazon, those two kind of as our centered areas where products are going, we're still doing well with it.
Okay. Actually, what I meant was, are there other companies popping up around you doing similar things is where I was going with it. Because I noticed them in my market and in most other markets, and I've heard from other sellers saying that these places seem to be popping up everywhere. Now, I don't know how well they're doing.
Sure. You're talking discount stores.
Yeah. I don't know what to call them. Yeah, they're discount stores, but they definitely are shelf pulls for the most part, I see.
Right. I think one thing that's cool about our model maybe and why we don't compete as much with like an Ollie's or some of these other discount chains is like it's constantly revolving. It's these food items that, you know, there's no rhythm to it. There's no consistency to the products, you know, on the shelves. It's always changing. So what we have in there on a Monday, you know, may not be in there on a Wednesday, or it might be. But it's rotating through, and we've built up a customer base that essentially purchases those items, and then we have a whole new lot of items that go out on those shelves. So it seems like the randomness is what helps us with success. Whereas you have somebody like an Ollie's bargain store that has the same stuff, right, and it's just skew depth of this item. It's just kind of, I mean, it's the strategy, and I'm sure it works, but I like our model.
No, I like your model too. And, you know, as I sit and think about it, most of your food is health and or your food and health and beauty. People have to have that stuff, right? That's something where if you were selling irons only or, just books or whatever, you can do without, you know? And so I think that also plays into it. Man, I love your business. I love where you guys are going. And I love, again, the approach of the partnership. Any words of wisdom? So, you know, the goal is to help people move forward. So somebody's thinking about bringing on a partner or maybe two in your case, right? Give some advice that you think that they could use in their business to bring on a partner, or advice to heed bringing on a partner that you think would help them move forward.
Yeah, I think one of the big things is knowing yourself, knowing what you're good at, and knowing what you can commit to, and like in your strength, and just being strong in an area, and it's just easy for you. You know, there's no effort to it. It's just something that nobody else can do. When you realize you have something like that, you know, it just sets you up for success. It set me up for success. I know what I'm good at within UTS. I know what I can do, and there's things I can't do, and my other partners and other employees, you know, they can do those things much better than me, so why should I even attempt to do it? So just being able to accept the fact that I'm not all things to everyone.
It's self-awareness. It's self-awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard Gary Vee talk about that, you know, a lot of people aren't meant to be the number one, but that doesn't mean you can't be a great number two. And if you can hire a great number one and then be content in your role as a number two, that's an awesome place to be, right?
Right.
I love it. All right, David, anybody has questions, can I put your Facebook contact out here for them?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, man. I wish you nothing but success. Can't wait to see you again and tell your partners I said hello and peace in their lives, too. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks again, Stephen.
Take care.
Bye.
If you're serious about private label and getting into private label and advancing with private label very, very quickly, here's a great opportunity. And there's only 9 slots left. So it's not like, hey, think about it. This is a pull the trigger if you're in and get in fast. It's Amazing Freedom Private Label Retreat in Breckenridge, Colorado, May 19th. Through the 22nd of 2017. You're responsible for your airfare to get to Denver and your way home. That's what you have to worry about. The rest is taken care of. All transportation, all meals, all housing. Oh, the house? It's a 15,000 square foot home. Yep, 15,000 square foot home. First class meals catered by an executive chef on site. He will make it right there for you. We've got private label 101 to 10001. I mean, it's everything you need. Finding products, bringing products to market. It's one-on-one personal training. It's a handful of people. There's only 9 slots left. Andy Slammons, Nate Slammons, Liron Hirschkorn will be there to help you be successful. This is not cheap, but it is advanced and it's compressed into a couple days. Here's the other great thing. Andy's going to partner with you on a couple products while you're there. So you have an opportunity to get into the private label game with Andy. If you're interested, there's no time to wait because there's only 9 slots left. AmazingFreedom.com/retreat. AmazingFreedom.com/retreat.
I love these updates because it just, you know, brings back an adjustments in their lives and in their business. And I love, you know, David saying, hey, we've made some adjustments. We've tweaked. We figured some more out, because if there's one thing that's for certain, the business is going to change, and guarantee tomorrow it's going to change, and the day after it's going to change. And so having that flexibility, and these guys are a great example of it. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.